Now we'll just take a few minutes as we reflect upon this passage under the theme of living joy. Philippians and chapter 3. And here, when we read this passage, very much it begins very strong. And you'll see what I mean by that. And this, of course, is Paul writing from prison. His circumstances are not very friendly. They're not very positive. As far as Paul understands, he's only got a matter of perhaps a few weeks before he's going to be put to death. He doesn't know at this point that he will be set free. And for Paul, this sharpens his focus, what's important about life, and his sense of frustration about what some people are doing comes out in the first part of our passage. But then he talks about what really makes life worth living. So, Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. The question, what really matters? Think about it for a moment for you. What really matters? Another way of framing this question is to ask, what would you die for? What would you die for? Another way of putting it is, what would you live for? If there is something that really matters to you, something that you would say, if it came to the crunch, if politics took an even worse turn in our country, and Christians who named the name of Jesus were persecuted, truly persecuted, what would really matter to you? What would you die for? And more particularly, what would you live for? I was reading just this morning, I was reminded of it, but I read it a few days ago, somebody commenting the situation at the moment for the church in America. And they said, you can preach Jesus as long as you don't tread on the toes of their gods. The gods of money, war, sexism, racism, profit. Do you get that? You can preach Jesus as long as you don't tread on their toes. And we know so many situations there is this blending of Jesus and these other things. might shock you to know that the rise of the evangelical right in America. Do you know what was the prompt in the 60s for the rise of the evangelical right? Segregation, black and white. That's what gave the rise to the evangelical right. They didn't want black people in their universities. They came together with that. You see? And it's very easy within our culture to name the name of Jesus, to say I'm a Christian, to say even I'm a disciple of Jesus, but to truly follow Jesus, that's tough. To truly follow Jesus is tough. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul has discovered. He's in prison. We've said this before. He's in prison for probably 2 years. Prison was not a holiday camp. It wasn't a retreat center. It wasn't a pleasant thing. You would never wish it on anybody. You were abandoned in prison. You were given no supplies, no food, no nothing. You relied absolutely on people outside coming into the prison. Last week, we mentioned this friend of the Apostle Paul, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, we're told, got ill. It may well be that he got ill coming into the prison to help Paul or bring supplies into Paul, and it may be that he caught a disease, an illness that was going round the prison, as would so often be the case. It was a difficult circumstance, and for Paul, it sharpens his focus. What really matters to me? What really matters to me? What would he live for, and what would he die for? And he makes this extraordinary statement. Verse 8. Have you got your Bible open? What is more, he says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's what he says. He says, you know, I'm in prison. Life, we might describe it, life is hell for Paul. But his focus has been sharpened. His perspective is clear. What really matters? I remember hearing a heart surgeon say that he's never known anybody come to him. Patients. He's never known a patient come to him for serious heart surgery, who said, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. I wish I'd earned a bit more money. I wish I'd spent more time apart from my family doing whatever caught me up. And when we get towards death, our focus is sharpened. And we begin to think, you know, what really matters to me here. And the Apostle Paul says, do you know what? All in all, I've got so much to boast about, but I consider everything I could boast about as trash, absolute rubbish, as dung, compared to this, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And it's no accident that Paul uses these words, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. To speak just about Jesus, well, that would speak to people about the human Jesus, the one who lived on this earth, the one who loved and was merciful and forgiving and kind. But for any opponent of Paul, they would say, you can preach Jesus because we crucified him. But he speaks of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, because Christ really means king. And by saying the surpassing greatness for me, the thing that matters most for me is knowing a different king. It's not any of you who are in over me in the prison. It's not King Herod. It's not the emperor of the time. It's nobody in authority. It is knowing that Jesus is king. And quite deliberately, I think, Paul names Jesus in this way. as Christ, the King. And of course, he does speak about Jesus, because Jesus is the one who captures our hearts, the one who has loved and has forgiven and has been merciful and has been kind and generous. He's the one who attracts us to him. And of course, he talks of Jesus as Lord, because in the day of Paul, there was one Lord, and the Lord was the emperor, the Roman emperor. He was the Lord over all. And so the Apostle Paul says, do you know what really matters? In amongst everything I could boast about, it is knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he speaks of this as the surpassing greatness. Now, it could end there. And it could be that that's everything that the Apostle Paul wants to say, but he doesn't. You know, in thinking about this question, what matters? What really matters to Paul? He says, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. But then, what does he go on to say? I want to know, verse 10, I want to know Christ. He wants to know the power of his resurrection. And then he wants to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Now, does this strike us a little bit odd? The Apostle Paul is saying, I want to know Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's great. But now he says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Now, that would be good. That would be good to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus. But then he says, I want to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And he just goes, hang on. What? No, hang on, Paul. You're suffering right now. You're not sure where your next meal's coming from. You could catch a terrible disease and die. You could be hauled out in front of the crowd and be put to death at any moment. And you're telling me you want to know the fellowship, that sharing in the sufferings of Christ? What's all that about? This extraordinary statement that the Apostle Paul makes. But what does it go on to in verse 11? Somehow, he says, to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Somehow, he says. I find this just so extraordinary. Here is the Apostle Paul. He's in prison, he's suffering, and his attention is sharpened. His perspective is clear. Looking at the question, what really matters? Now, many of us, we don't even think clearly about what really matters, because we're not in trouble. We're safe, we're comfortable, everything's okay for us. And our perspective is never really that clear to begin to think what really matters for us. But Paul is thinking, this is what really matters. I know the most valuable thing is to know Christ Jesus, my Lord. But even more than that, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the abundance, the never-endingness of the love of the Father that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to know that extraordinary love. And I want to know something about these sufferings. Why does he want to know all that? Can't he just leave it as it is? But he can't, because he says, I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead. And what Paul is describing is, look, I'm on a journey, he's saying, and I'm journeying through life, and I'm suffering right now, and what I've come to understand is the most important thing is knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. But at the end of this journey, whenever it is that I die, at the end of this journey, what I want to attain there is resurrection. And what the Apostle Paul has worked out is this. The only way he can get to the end of his journey and be raised from the dead and attain to the resurrection of the dead is if he will walk in the footsteps of Jesus. The Apostle Paul is not taking for granted that he will be raised from the dead. This is his hope, that he will be raised. But he's not taking it for granted. There's no guarantee. But he's saying, I know there is one who was raised from the dead. He suffered and he died being faithful to God. And having been faithful to God in his suffering and his death, in his life and suffering and his death, I know God raised him from the dead. And the most important thing for me is to know Christ. And I hope that I can attain to resurrection. And so if I in my life can walk the way of Jesus, if I can share in the sufferings of Jesus, if I can die faithfully like Jesus, then may it be true for me also that I will be raised from the dead. And it is here that the Apostle Paul, his focus is crystal clear. What really matters for Paul? It is to live for Jesus, whatever his circumstances are. What matters? I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live with Jesus. Whatever route Jesus took in life, I'm prepared to take that route. I am prepared to walk in the way of Jesus, so that at the end of that journey, I might be raised from the dead. And this is an extraordinary statement from the Apostle Paul, perhaps even the most clear statement that he makes about his own heart, is about his own intentions. We have it right here. What really matters? What really matters is knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Trusting that I can walk faithfully in the footsteps of Jesus, in the way of Jesus. And then trusting that when I die, God will raise me. Now we began with that question, what really matters for us? And depending on what stage of life we're at, our answers may vary considerably in terms of hopes and dreams. Some of us might think, well, I've done, you know, hopes and dreams, that's long gone. But we might still be hopeful for our life. What really matters to us? It might be that this morning we can hear what the Apostle Paul says. With everything, the great success in so many ways that he's had, everything that he could boast about, and his reflection, there's only one thing that matters really, and that's knowing Christ. And it may be that for us, we say, okay, for me, from this day forward, by the grace of God, may I walk the way of Jesus. May it count for me. So that for me, without beating around the bush, when I get to my last day and I die, I will die faithful to God, trusting that I too will attain to the resurrection of the dead. And in that, we trust in him. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, again, we thank you for the abundance of your great love. Father, thank you for the abundance of your love that we see demonstrated in extraordinary power in the resurrection of Jesus, the Father raising the Son from the dead. Father, help us to see. Help us to see what really matters. Give us a fresh sight of Jesus, that we might fix our eyes upon Jesus, we might fix our thoughts on Jesus, and we might live for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.